People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Hey guys, it's Natalia and welcome back to Unfiltered Fashion Talks. Today we have Leah from Charlie Darwin with us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on. I've been a long time listener and first time podcast guest. I'm super excited.
So exciting. Thank you. Yes, I'm so excited to have you. I'm also so glad you reached out because I have such a hard time finding guests nowadays. I feel like I've gone through my list of like all like my closer friends that I like know I can get on. And now it's like at that point where I have to like search and actually find people, and it's a little harder than you'd think. So
I can't imagine. I feel like just reaching out to people in general is scary, and so I'm actually like proud of myself for reaching out to you. So
I can't imagine
you doing that for all of your guests as well. So
so I'm glad this worked out. It's also funny because on my last episode, well, I guess we'll get into your story in a minute, but my last episode, somebody commented that I should have somebody who does natural dyeing on here. And then you like popped up in my emails and you're like, oh, I do natural dyeing. And I was like, that could not have been more perfect.
Yes.
It's so funny. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So that being said, tell us more about yourself and what you do.
My name's Leah and I am the CEO, seamstress,
yes,
photographer, everything.
All the things.
I run Charlie Darwin Textiles, which is my handmade clothing business that I am running right now out of Providence, Rhode Island, in my home studio. I'm actually about to move to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we'll keep it going there. My clothing really focuses on natural fibers. And I do everything with natural dyes. So I actually buy like one bolt of the same white linen fabric all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then as orders come in, people can either order in just like the natural white flax, or I naturally dye it. And I offer a few different colors of natural dyes that I'm working with at the moment. It's all made to order. I love to make it really complicated for me.
It's all made to order,
made to measure. It's, I'd say, pretty gender fluid in a lot of ways. I have had, I'm the model for everything. So I identify as female and, you know, all of my clothes are on me, but I have had some men or non-binary people buy my clothes. So I don't really like to identify it as clothes for women, but
love that so much. So lots of cool things. I love the fact that you buy like one roll of fabric and just go with it. That's probably so much easier.
It is, and honestly I think it's like a cool part of what
totally.
I think it was like a business move for me right at the beginning, because as you probably, I'm gonna guess, like when you started sewing, were you buying just clothes or the fabric from Joann's?
Had available, and it's so expensive.
No, first of all, so expensive. And second of all, I made something. I was so proud of it. I got like this blue linen from Joann's. And then like I got one order I fulfilled. And then by the second order, Joann's was already like out of stock of this fabric.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, well, this isn't going to work. Like two orders in, I can't even do it.
Yep.
And you're too poor at the time when you very first start to like buy a bunch of fabric, you know? So I was like, okay, well, I can't just offer one fabric for everything. So how can I like offer different colors? And I thought, you know, of course, the DIYer in all of us, course. Creative, I was like, I'll just dye it myself. Like, I'll make the color. And I really, I learned about natural dyes at IU. I'm also from Indiana.
No way. That's so funny.
Yeah. So I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is like Northeast, but I went to Indiana University and
gotcha.
I took like one class in textiles and I learned natural dyeing there.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I thought it was super cool. So, and you know, that was a while ago. I still have like the binder of instructions of how to do it. And
yep.
So I started doing natural dyes on just like my one bolt of fabric, and the dyes I use have changed quite a bit since I started, and how I do it, but because I've just learned along the way. But it was definitely a business move of like, okay, well, I'm like too poor to to have like nine colors when I only am getting, at first you only get like one order a month when you very first start something, you know? And so I was like, I can't be ordering a bunch of stuff and it's made to order. So I kind of need to have the fabric right when the order's placed to make it. So yeah, it's been like strategic business side moves, but I also think it adds like a fun component to what I offer. So
yeah, I think it's funny because I think there's a lot of things that I do too that are like sustainable or people think is really cool, but it's like actually it was just like financially better for me. Like made to order in itself, I think is just more financially like doable. Cause you're not like creating all this extra stuff or like having all this extra stuff on hand. It's like kind of as it comes. So it makes more sense, even though people see it as this like extra complex thing. I'm like, actually it's a really smart business move. Or like even being like zero waste or like low waste about how you cut your patterns. I'm like, no, I'm just like saving money and like reusing things. Like
I know, it really is so true and so funny. And sometimes I hear you talk about that stuff like in social media and I'm just like, oh, that's smart. Like
I know, I'm like saving money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of, I think you're right on made to order. It's like, especially, you know, I have a friend who works for Macy's and she does a lot of like at a big company like that, they can do trend forecasting.
Yeah.
And so much of everything.
So much.
That they can tell like what styles are going to sell or not. And that's amazing when you are selling to a huge amount of people, but when you're selling to so few people and you have a smaller following on Instagram, it's really hard to gauge like what people are going to want to buy, you know?
Exactly.
And so, and I'm like, I know what I would wear and which things I like the best. And, you know, but then you put it out there and like the thing that you're like so proud of might actually get the least amount of orders for some reason. And I don't know. So made to order is way better because you don't have to like prepare for what is going to sell.
Basically. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it is really funny how you think like certain pieces are going to do so well and then they like kind of flop. But then other pieces that you're like, not like you don't think they're going to do well, but you're like, maybe these aren't going to be the top sellers. Happen to be the top sellers.
Yeah.
It is like the weirdest thing. Like recently for me, well, recently this whole year, I've basically had like one collection out because I literally just haven't had time to do anything.
Right.
But I have this, like the same top, my Gabrielle top, a little like puff sleeve with a little like, you know, tied up back. I have it in like two different colors. I have like the white floral and the pink floral. And for whatever reason, the white floral has like popped off and like top seller, pink floral, like flop.
What is it?
But it's like the same top and it's just like a like different fabric, but it's not even that different because they're both florals. It's just like pink versus white. But then it's funny because all my other pink stuff sells really well. So it's like just so weird how you'd think something would do well and then it doesn't. And then like, yeah, if you had inventory of it, it's like now you're left with all this inventory of it. It's like, what do you do?
Right. And then there's only so much you can wear yourself.
Exactly.
I like to keep it. I think made to order is great too. Cause I make, and I think you do it the same way, at least for now, but like I make the one sample for me and I make it in one naturally dyed color. So I have the white and a naturally dyed piece. And then honestly, if it doesn't get that many sales, I'm like, well, at least I got a cute thing out of it.
Yeah, you know? No, me too.
I get to wear it. You know?
Yeah, I'm like,
it's top of one and it's okay.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, at least somebody's wearing it, but yeah, that's so funny. Okay, so let's get into like natural dyes and stuff before we, you know, get out of that conversation because I'm really interested in it. I've been asked about it a lot. I've never done it personally, just because I don't know, it's never like put the time into it. But
it's a lot of time.
And like I feel like it would be a lot of time to like really perfect it and like, you know, have it down. So like what kind of colors do you use and what you use for them? Because I'm like really curious about that.
Yeah. So I'll share as much as I know, which I've grown a lot. Cause like I said, I just learned it, you know, in a few weeks in a college course originally back in like 2015. And when I revisited it, I already kind of knew there's going to be a lot of experimentation, involved with the process based on my first experience. And that was definitely true. So, and I think most of my knowledge I've gotten is from the internet. I've heard a lot of people suggest great books. I have not ever bought any of
them.
I'm
the same way.
But, you know, I just feel like there's so much free stuff on the internet that I can find. But sometimes that knowledge is like hit or miss. Sometimes it's just a blogger who's just dyeing like their baby's clothes one off. And so like their experience that they're sharing isn't as scientific. The dyes might not last as long. And it might be really fun experiment project for just someone who's doing a craft at home. But when I'm running a business, I'm like, I need my blue to look pretty similar every single time I do it. I need the color to last at least a little bit longer. Natural dyes are, I'd say, like notorious in a good way and a bad way for maybe not being as color fast, like the color not lasting as long, which I would argue that if you put any even synthetically dyed product in the sun for a long time, it fades.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But natural dyes, there are some that last a lot better than others. And I'd say that's a big part of the experimenting for me as far as running it through my business. So I originally started with my blues being made with black beans, and I'd buy dried bags of black beans from Aldi, and you just soak them in like a pot, and then you dip the clothes in, soak them overnight. And the process usually takes like for something like that it differs. So some things you just might need to soak for a few hours on the stove. Other things are better left overnight or over a week. But I'd leave the black bean, the fabric in the black beans for like overnight and pull it out. And it's like this beautiful purpley blue. And I was selling that as my blue for maybe the first year or less. And by the way, I started in 2020. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but I did that for about a year, and I started to get feedback from, I usually get feedback from people who are closer to me. So,
me too.
You know, like friends and family. Yeah. And then there's like the people who I don't know who they are at all, who order stuff and I might never hear from them. But from a friend, she said, oh my God, well, I dried my thing out in the sun and it like instantly lost its color. And I was like, ooh, well, whoa. I guess it should be a little bit more clear in my instructions that like you shouldn't dry your clothes out in the bright sun. Like that will fade, kind of fade any clothing. But so I was like, okay, I need to add that in. And then I started to notice that my black bean blue stuff was also fading like after a year. I kind of took a year for mine to fade, and it was kind of fading into gray. And I was like, it's still really pretty, but I feel a little weird marketing this as blue. If it's going to fade, I at least need to put more information on it if I'm going to sell it as blue. And so that's an example of something that I started with that. And I decided after about a year, I was like, I don't know. I don't feel good about selling something that's going to fade into gray. So
yeah,
I switched to indigo, and I get like a pre-reduced indigo, which comes as a powder. I know really legit people will, and I'm wearing it right now. You can see this blue.
Oh, it's such a nice blue.
Yeah. And it lasts way better. Really legit indigo dyers will actually like grow indigo as a plant and then harvest it and make like a whole vat system. And I want to be that someday, but right now I'm in an apartment with a small yard. And so I get the pre-reduced indigo and do it in my giant buckets. But, so I switched indigo, lasts way better. And then some other colors that really have stuck around is tea gray. So, and I chose this one because I'm trying to look around me right now and see if I have any around. Everything's packed up, but I did the tea gray. I saw that in like an ebook that I read that you could dye with tea. And specifically when you, natural dyeing is, I'll back up a couple steps. Natural dyeing a lot of times has to do with like mordanting. There's a lot of steps up into natural dyeing. So first you have to scour the fabric, which just means get all the impurities out of it. So like any oils from our fingers, or any chemicals that might've been put in the manufacturing process. And scouring is just a fancy term for like boiling it. And I use something called soda ash and a little bit of Synthrapol, which is like a really neutral pH neutral soap. And I boil it for like an hour. I strain it. Usually burn my fingers somewhere in that process.
Yep.
And then from there, depending on what dye you're using, it helps if you use some type of mordant. So like when I was doing black beans, I would mordant the fabric with a powder called aluminum acetate. And that's something I would just, it's a powder I mix with water, make a solution in a bucket, put the fabric in and soak that overnight. So you can see there's like a lot of steps involved in this before it even hits the black beans. But for my tea dye, the mordanting process I do afterwards. So I still scour the fabric, then I soak it in tea. So I actually just get tea bags from Walmart or Dollar Tree, which I have noticed that the tea, depending on where I buy it from, it will give me like a slight variation in color, probably because it's like leaves harvested from different like soils and stuff.
Right.
So I just get like the cheapest tea I can find.
I mean,
like,
as you should.
It doesn't have to be like fancy, you know?
Right.
And I do about, it's a lot of measurements for all this stuff. I do about 10 tea bags, now one tea bag for every 10 grams of fabric. So weigh out the fabric while it's still dry. And then I use one tea bag per 10 grams, soak it. And then afterwards I dip it in iron sulfate solution. So I buy this iron powder on Etsy and, it's like a green powder and I use like again, you have to follow these calculations, like 1% weight of goods or weight of fabric. And I mix that with hot water, dip in the fabric. And then it actually just like kind of like magically turns the brown fabric from the tea, it turns it gray. And and that iron really helps, it not only changes the color, but it really helps with the light fastness a little bit as well. So it helps it kind of hold a darker color for longer. And it's funny because think of all these calculations and then think of all the calculations you have to do just to make sewing patterns.
Like, oh my God, it's so much math.
I'm like just so much constantly doing math all the time. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Literally.
Oh my God. I'm like, I'm getting really good at multiplication and addition. Like, luckily it's simple. I don't have to do like angles or anything, but it is a lot of math. And, and that's part of the learning process is learning what percent of everything to add in. And I think right now I offer, three colors, tea brown. So without the iron added. Mm-hmm. Tea gray with the iron added and then indigo blue. And I like that range for now. It's like what I can afford because I don't think when you start getting into like other colors, I can't grow currently right now. I could technically grow any plant dyed plants, you know, but since I can't grow right now, my other options are to purchase online. You can purchase powders like dye extracts from I think like Botanical Colors and Iowa and different websites that have really great dyes, but they're a little bit expensive. So by the time I would start, that increases the cost of my clothes, you know, as I get into more expensive dyes. And I think that can be worth it. But as a small business starting out, everything that makes your cost increase more and more is like that much scarier. I only have so big of an audience right now. Like the higher I make this price, the smaller in some ways it feels. I don't know if that's completely true, but it sometimes makes you feel like you're reducing your audience. And so I'm trying to balance that. Like, do I dip into getting other more colors? Like maybe that will broaden my audience, people who look really good at orange. I don't offer orange.
Right.
You know, but then I'm like, the price point higher to do the orange because that dye extract is more expensive. So
yeah, it is hard.
Things to think about.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I think it's always hard to even take like any sort of step that might cost a little more for a small business. Like even for me, I feel like people see that I have a bigger following and they think that I'm like always getting orders and stuff. I'm like, that's not how it is at all for right. me. I'm like, that does not translate into customers all the time. So I'm like, even I right. like struggle, I don't know, buying certain fabrics and be like, will this actually do well or like not? Should I invest yeah. in this? Should I not? Like it is, yeah, it's a lot to think about.
It is, yeah. And sometimes you go to all the work to promote something too. And, yes. You know, like if I were to actually invest in these dyes, I'd have to
right.
make clothes. I'd have yep. to photograph the clothes in these dyes. Yep. There's so many steps involved
so many.
Up to just like launching a new concept. And then you're like, okay, well, if I want this to go well, then I need to like really launch it and like yes. really push it. So then you're like doubling down on your Instagram and everything like yep. that. And then in the end, you're still just like hoping like, is this yeah. gonna go well? I don't even
literally yeah. yeah, it's always yeah. just a guessing game. I feel like it's never secure, which right. is the fun of being a small business.
Exactly. It's so fun. Yeah, so it is fun. Fun. It's it fun is. In a way. You yeah. have to be the, you know, I think I am probably both of us are like mm-hmm. a little bit set up for that little spice of mystery in life.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I think
for
I'm
sure.
okay at tolerating that in a way yeah. that other people would be like, oh my God, no, I'd rather do anything else, you know?
Right. No, I totally agree. I think it yeah. takes like a very specific type of person to be able to do that just because there's so much uncertainty around everything all the time. And it's just right. like, it's not for everybody. Not for no. everybody.
No. But you get... I was going to say you get kind of used to it. And then I was like, I don't know. I think I've accepted
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I'm like,
I don't
yes
love
no.
it yet.
yeah. yeah. I feel that. I feel like I'm just at a point of like, well, this is my life. Like right, I chose right. this. I can't complain about it. So yeah. it's fine.
And I think there's an element too of like, there's so much uncertainty now. And sometimes, you know, after, a flop or something doesn't feel yep. like it's landing right. Or I know you've yep. talked recently about like social media engagement being down, things
literally
like that.
Literally such a flop.
And yeah. And it's like, I think there are so many moments that you're like, oh, what, like you have this moment of doubt of like, mm-hmm. am I psycho? Like, am I
yeah.
weird trying to like push this? Am I pushing something that's not working? Like
right.
what's going on? And then I think it's just so helpful that there is such a big online community of entrepreneurs in general, because then I'm always reminded that like things take time to grow, you know? So like, yeah. I saw on a blog somewhere, someone did the research of like how long it takes a fashion brand or like a handmade clothing brand to actually make like $100,000 a year mm-hmm. just through sales of clothes.
Right.
And, you know, I think they wrote that it would take, after their research, it would take 5 to 7 years for like yeah. a successful brand to get there. And I was like, oh, thank God I read that. You know what
right?
I mean? Like just yeah. peace of mind. I'm in year two and, you know, I hear $100,000. I'm like, oh my God, that sounds amazing.
That sounds so nice.
Out.
Yeah. yeah.
like just from clothing sales.
Yeah.
You know?
Would be nice.
That sounds great. And then I'm like, okay, well, I've got a few years like this.
Right.
It's going to take time. I just have to be patient as things progress. And
yeah.
I keep learning and I'm probably going to keep getting better. It's not like I didn't go to school for business, you know.
Right. No, me neither.
Or even fashion design. I went to school. I got a degree in animal behavior. So, so like, you know,
it's so
I'm
funny.
Really self-taught on every topic here.
Right.
And, so that probably bumps my 5 to 7 years to like 6 to 9 years. And I guess I'll just accept that. So that's all right.
Yeah. It's also like, I feel like because we started our businesses in like 2020, I feel like it's also mm-hmm. just a completely different approach to what business even was prior to that. So now we're in like this
yeah.
whole other world where everybody's trying to relearn business. Like, I feel
yeah.
like even brands that have been established for so long are having to like redo the way they do things and like, you know, rebrand because the world's just so different and it's like so ever changing. And it's just like, are you ever going to stop learning? No, probably not.
Right.
So it's just like a constant. Yeah. And I feel like it's funny. I feel like I've heard that whole like 5 to 7 year thing a lot, even outside of like fashion. I've heard that just like generally like small businesses, if you like make it past like year five, then like that's when you're like good.
Right, right. You're then, almost safe. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, if you've made it 5 years, it's like, oh, you're probably good now. I'm right. Like, all right, we're like almost halfway there.
Right, but, right. And then you start to feel like maybe the clock's ticking. You're like, all right, yeah, well, I'm almost halfway. Then like,
right?
Oh, I gotta get going.
No, I feel that because I feel like I've been doing things kind of the same since I started. It's not like I've had like some crazy growth or like any really big additions. It's like it's still just me making clothing. So I'm like, right, am I ever gonna actually get to that point if it's still just me making clothing? Like, is that even like possible?
Hopefully.
I mean, hopefully, yeah. But I'm always just like, I feel like I need to do something else for it to move like quicker here. But then it's also like, you can't expect quick growth. Like, it's okay to be slow with things too.
And I think that's kind of the facade of like social media is I see so many people who, I don't know. I don't know. YouTube's always trying to push like these people who are like, I launched and sold 1,000 orders in day one.
Right?
And I'm just like,
how?
Stop showing me this. Like, this isn't helpful.
Right.
Who are these people? And like, why are they selling so many stickers? Like,
I know it's always stickers or like, just like, I don't know, drop shipped things. Like things that is like easy because they're not making anything. I'm like,
and it's cheap to sell.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got to remember that. I'm like, the things I'm selling are like, you know, between $100 and $200.
Right.
So like one sale for me is like selling, you know, like 1,000 stickers or something.
Probably. Yeah.
So it's, I got to remember that too. Like,
yeah. No,
don't compare to the YouTube algorithm people.
Yeah. I'm like, it always has to be relative to like other handmade clothing businesses. And I think we're all kind of on the same page. Like, I don't think any of us are like selling out and making like millions because how.
I don't know. Yeah, and I just listened to your Shein podcast and talking about, you said something about like they make 6 cents per garment or something.
Yeah, it's literally crazy.
And I was like, what? Like, I can't even imagine. It takes so much time. And I have seen videos like they do move quick. Like they're really talented seamstresses.
Totally.
And they can go faster than me, but not that much faster.
Exactly.
And it's like, I can't, you know, it's insane thinking about how much time goes into a garment and then getting paid 6 cents. Like,
I literally do not understand. Yeah. And I think people just assume that like everything's just machine based and it's like, oh, machines are making it, not people. But it's like, no, there's always a person behind that machine. Yeah. Like sewing is not something that's been like automated yet.
Right.
Like it's still the same as it was like 100 years like, ago, you know?
Really talented people too.
Totally. Like, they're like skilled workers.
They're very incredibly skilled workers. And I just, it's so weird to think about. And I do feel obviously incredibly lucky in that way that first of all, I'm able to start my own business in this country. I was just one day like, I'm going to start a business and then like leverage my talents by learning things online and then say, this is how much I'm going to charge for it, you know? Yep. And so I do feel lucky that like I have that, I don't know, that kind of like control over, over leveraging my trading my skill for value and things like that.
Yeah.
So I know not everyone has that ability based on where they live in the culture and economy, but you know, nonetheless, sometimes I still don't get people to buy my stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's still difficult, but I get it. Yeah. So I have a lot of like international viewers that will like comment or like DM me and be like, how can I start a business in like my country and like do the same things you're doing? I'm like, I wish I could tell you it's the same, but I know it's not. Like, I know it's not. I'm like, anything I say business wise is only pertaining probably to the US. Like, I know that it's not the same in every country. I know you can't charge the same things in other countries. Like some people are like, wow, like it's crazy that you charge so much like per hour or like, you know, pay yourself so much per hour or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, it's just different. Like I can't, you know, this is different culture. And I'm like, we're so lucky to be able to do that here and to have people like actually kind of appreciate it and find the customer base for that. But yeah, it's definitely not as easy as it seems. And, you know, not everybody can do it, which is unfortunate. But
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully one day though, like I always tell people, I'm like, but you never know. potentially yeah. be the first. I'm like, I'm right. not going to be like, you can't do it. But I'm like, it might just be really hard, but maybe you can.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have no idea what, and even just like business rules in other countries. I barely yeah, exactly. business rules in our country. Like
I don't know anything.
Was like a mess. So I was, oh I mean, I kept God. Track of all my expenses. Yeah. I was like, is anybody so reading hard. This when I send it in? I don't know.
Same, especially like me as like a small business, but also as a like influencer.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I cool. get payments from so many different things and yeah. so many different places. And I'm like, I literally do not know how to do any of this. And then it's
that
like
crazy.
Yeah. And then it's like influencers can technically write off so many things if it's used yeah. for content. And I'm like, I just feel guilty like writing things off. I'm like, is somebody going to check this? And like, is the IRS going to come to my door and be like, why did you write off this specific coffee on this specific day? And I'll be like, God. I don't know.
I was so excited. I put my haircut, my receipt for like my $75 haircut on there because I was like, I'm my own model. Like, yeah. this hair needs to look yeah. good. Like,
no, I do that too. Like when I used to get my nails done, I'd always write those off too. And like anything like that, I'm like, it is technically a write off. And I do technically have proof, but I just feel right. guilty about it. I'm like, that doesn't seem right, but it is. It's so weird.
It is because if yeah. I was hired as a model, my haircut would count, like, you
exactly
know?
So I'm like, it I does count, but
it does
yeah, but it's funny how that works. Yeah, I feel like people will ask me about like more legal stuff on business stuff, and I'm like, I literally don't even know if I'm doing things legally. I couldn't tell you.
No,
like I think
well,
I
you
am
just
but
had
I don't
to
know.
Do with California stuff, right? Like
yeah, I just yeah I just recently got like my California business license, and now I registered yeah. as an LLC because I was previously sole proprietor in Indiana, but I was like, I might as well just like make the switch. Do I have yeah. any idea what that's going to mean for taxes? Absolutely no. not. Do I have an accountant? No. So like, am I gonna have to figure this out? Yeah, I'm like, I have no clue how I'm gonna do this when it comes to taxing, especially having like switch states mid-year. I'm like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
like who am I paying? Like yeah, what am I doing?
No, wow,
literally no clue. But you're moving states too, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, so I'm like, good luck. Maybe we'll just try to figure it out together because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, good thing that's we still got some time.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, I'll have time to like figure it out, do some research, hopefully. But yeah, it is so confusing, just business side of things. But
right.
It is what it is. You gotta go yeah. with it.
Do you have any tips real quick for me on moving since you just moved?
Do not hire movers.
No, I didn't, which
that's sucks. My number one tip.
It all. I got yeah. my boyfriend will help me, but
see, that'll be nice.
Yeah, thankfully my stuff will be there the same time as me, so
yeah, that's nice. I feel like that was my, I mean, obviously I'm glad I hired movers because I have like, you know, my industrial machines and just a lot of furniture, and it was just me moving. It's not like I'm moving yeah. with someone, so I was like, it made more sense obviously for me to hire people, but
right.
Wow, having to wait like a whole month to get my stuff was not ideal. So that was like my one thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, I feel like the moving process wasn't that bad. Like if you're doing it yourself and you know where all your stuff is and everything, you'll probably right. be golden. But
right.
But yeah, it's just moving is such a hassle. So
when you had to downsize a lot too.
Yeah. So. I literally yeah. downsized from like a 3-bedroom like townhouse to a 1-bedroom. And I don't know how I managed. There was like a point in time where like they were bringing all my stuff into the apartment, and like yeah. the movers and I were both like, I don't know if all of this is going to fit. And it was like halfway through the truck only. And I was like, oh my God, it's not going to fit. And somehow it managed. Don't know how, but
have you been able to keep it clean inside? Like as far as clutter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes and slightly no, because I still have certain things in boxes that I don't know what to do with, like all my like packaging supplies, like all my extra like mailers and like bags for like pop-ups and stuff. I'm like, they're just still in yeah. boxes because I'm like, I don't know where else to put them.
Right.
And I don't know, fabrics and stuff are kind of all scattered. It's kind of hard to keep yeah. it organized, but I'm doing my best. I think overall it's actually not too bad considering. But yeah, definitely hard to keep the clutter down when it's
yeah.
All your stuff in one place like that.
Someone is leaf blowing right outside my window.
That so was me this morning too.
Yeah.
No, it's so funny. Every time I record in the mornings, I swear every other morning they're doing something outside my window, and I'll yeah. like start the camera. It's as soon as I start it, they'll be like leaf blowing right at my window. I'm like, are there even leaves here? Or is there even a tree there? No. Why are you blowing? Like,
I don't know. Insane. Yeah. And you're like filming a lot too.
Yeah. So it's the worst.
That would be a lot.
Yeah. I've just accepted it. I'm like, if you hear it, I'm sorry. Like, I got to keep going. But, you know,
I think you probably have a good enough microphone.
Yeah. I'm like, it's probably fine. It's not too bad. But anyway, yeah. Let people know where they can find you and all the things that you're doing.
Yes. So you can find my work at my website, charliedarwintextiles.com. And it's like a spinoff of Charles Darwin. So you can remember it that way. And I'm on Instagram. Of course, someone had at Charlie Darwin, you know, the simple version. So obviously I have like dots in there. So I'm going to spell it out real quick. It's charliedarwin.com.
Okay.
On Instagram. So you can put the link in the bio.
I will put the link down there. Don't worry.
Yeah. And I'm moving to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm actually really hoping to have a little bit more of an in-person presence. Since I started during the pandemic, mm-hmm. I feel like I've existed in an online bubble for so long, but I'd really like to become known as like a local business somewhere, you know? No one in Providence knows I exist in Rhode Island right now. So like, I don't exist here, and I'd love to become known locally there. So if you have any listeners that are in Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh specifically, I'd love if you reached out, and because I want to become at least part of like some like artisan fairs or pop-ups or anything like that. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I've been trying to lean into that more too. So
yeah,
we'll see. If any, if any of you are in Pennsylvania, hit her up.
Yeah, hit me.
Yeah. And yeah.
I'm going to need friends. Yeah.
Yes, I feel that. Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Check her out if you guys haven't. I will have all the links down below for you to check out. And we will see you guys in the next one. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at target.com.